This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, the annual pelvic exam has long been a routine part of women's health care, but now new guidelines say it's not necessary. Well, here with more on this is Dr. Renee Mested. She is the Assistant Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Mested. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So the American College of Physicians, which I understand is the nation's second largest physicians organization, has just come out with some new guidelines that say that healthy women do not need routine pelvic exams, and that in fact they can do more harm than good. Can you help us understand that?
So what the American College of Physicians did was they reviewed studies for the past, back down to I think 1950s, that evaluated the various aspects of the pelvic exam, both looking at how well it detects ovarian cancers as well as infections like bacterial vaginosis, which is a fairly common female infection. They found through those studies that the routine pelvic exam, wasn't very good for detecting either ovarian cancer or bacterial vaginosis.
Can you say that more slowly?
Bacterial vaginosis.
Oh, bacterial vaginosis.
Better known as BV.
Okay.
And additionally, some of the studies also looked at how women perceived the pelvic exam. Some women dread it. Some women are very anxious about going to the doctor because they know they're going to have to have this exam. Some women actually delay even seeing an obstetrician or gynecologist because they are concerned that they might have to have a pelvic exam, and they've heard horror stories from girlfriends and sisters about the pelvic exam.
So the exam itself might be a deterrent in their mind to actually getting good medical care.
Yes. Okay. So as a result of the evaluation of the data indicating that women are potentially deterred from seeing their physician due to a pelvic exam, and that the pelvic exam does not seem to find things like ovarian cancer or bacterial vaginosis, they've determined that it has the potential for doing more harm than good, and that it should no longer be a part of the routine annual health care.
But if there was no good evidence that they found, why did these become such a routine part of women's health care? I mean, what was the thinking behind it at the outset? This routine, this idea of all women, whatever age, once they become sexually active,
right,
are necessary to have a routine pelvic exam.
Well, so what it gets back to back in the beginning, which I wasn't there for,
right.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
A long time ago, cervical cancer was the number one cancer killer of women. And we did not have, the only way we could ever even consider detecting cervical cancer was through a pelvic exam way back, before pap smears were available.
So it basically became part then,
yes,
of what was kind of the armamentour of,
right,
what doctors could do at the time, but it continued to be carried along.
Exactly. And the thing is that most women don't actually examine their genitalia. They don't look at their labia, they don't look at the vulva, and they're unable to look inside their vagina because most women aren't that agile.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it continued because it was the only way that anyone would ever actually do that exam. Women can examine their own breasts, women can examine their skin for melanomas and other cancers, or they can have their partner or a family member or a friend do those exams, but there is nobody else to examine the vulva, vagina, mm-hmm, or cervix.
So it seems like would have made sense that this would become routine, but now after they reviewed, I saw something like 52 different articles showing that this was not a really accurate way to just, as you said, discover the infection, this common infection,
right,
or cervical cancer for that matter.
Well, it's ovarian cancer.
Ovarian cancer,
yes.
That's correct. So, but I think one of the things that is important in this whole recommendation is that they make a very clear distinction that they still need to go for cervical cancer checks and the pap smear.
Yes.
How is that accomplished without a pelvic exam?
So the two portions of the pelvic exam are visual inspection. So the healthcare provider will inspect the external genitalia, the labia, the vulva, and then place a speculum inside the vagina to look at the vaginal walls and then look at the cervix. So that's one part of the pelvic exam, is the visual inspection. At that time, with the speculum, the pap smear is done. And with a pap smear, the provider takes a sample of the cells from the cervix, which is then looked at with the microscope by a cytopathologist. And additionally, nowadays, we're able to get a sample of we're able to detect if there's human papillomavirus, the HPV, which is the virus that causes the majority of cervical cancers. The other portion of the pelvic exam is the bimanual or internal exam, where the provider places one or two fingers into the vagina and one hand, the other hand on the abdomen, and is able to feel the internal organs, the uterus and the ovaries.
So it is that part that they're saying is not helpful?
Yes.
Not the first part, not the visual inspection, which they still are advocating.
Although they're only advocating it at the time of the pap smear, which for women who don't have any signs of the HPV infection or have always had normal pap smears only needs to be done every 3 to 5 years, depending on her age.
So that has changed as well.
Yes.
Because at one time, wasn't the pap smear part of the routine exam, which was taking place on an annual basis?
Exactly.
So there's really been a cutback then in the frequency with which women would have to have these kinds of evaluations.
Yes.
And there's good data, I'm gathering, to support that notion?
There's very good data supporting the change in guidelines for the frequency of pap smears. Unfortunately, the data that the ACP, the American College of Physicians, is using to determine that routine pelvic exams are no longer necessary is not great. Which they stated in their article itself is it was moderate at best, the studies that they had. But again, they only encompassed ovarian cancer, bacterial vaginosis. They stated that there wasn't any good or bad data. There wasn't enough data to determine pelvic inflammatory disease, which can lead to infertility for young women. They didn't even discuss vulvar cancer, vaginal cancer, other infections. They didn't discuss incontinence. They didn't discuss sexual dysfunction.
So there are a lot of issues surrounding that. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with obstetrician gynecologist Dr. Renee Mested, and we're talking about the new guideline about routine pelvic exams. So I want to get this clear at this point. Exactly what is their recommendation, and how do you feel that falls short of the mark? Because that's what I'm picking up here.
Right. So the American College of Physicians recommends against a routine screening pelvic
for
exam.
For healthy women.
For healthy women.
Let me just interrupt you there. So when should it be done? What types of women do need it routinely or annually?
So women, or I guess we should say asymptomatic women, women who don't have any complaints of anything pertaining to their vagina or pelvic organs. So women who are complaining of pain, who are noticing pain with sex, who are noticing that their periods have become heavy.
Abnormal bleeding, some kind of that.
Exactly. Pain with their periods, leaking urine, weird discharges, vaginal itching, burning with urination, because often what's considered to be a bladder infection is actually a vaginal infection that causes that kind of pain. Those women definitely need a pelvic examination.
And how often would that be necessary? Or is that, in other words, if you're having those kinds of problems, would you still go back to this idea of a routine annual exam?
That's kind of hard.
On a case-by-case basis,
right.
I would think,
so,
as well.
So a lot of women will only see their gynecologist once a year. And often what happens is she detects an abnormal discharge or her periods start to become painful. And so she calls and says, I need my annual exam. And once she gets into the office with a physician, then she discusses the actual concerns that she has. But most women will call the receptionist and not want to discuss the various problems. So, and quite honestly, most women don't come to see us all that often unless they have an acute problem like a discharge or a recently painful or heavy period. So the idea that they need to come every year, for some women, they will make up a list of their problems and reserve them for that one visit each year. So in some cases, it's almost not a deterrent for some women to have a pelvic exam because they know, I'm going to have a pelvic exam, so we will address those problems at that time, and I won't go see her provider earlier at a different time.
So I guess what I'm hearing from you is that there's not a universal agreement at this point with what the American College of Physicians came out with. It sounds like, for example, I read somewhere that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists still consider it an important
yes.
element of their treatment plan or their evaluative plan.
Yes, they do. Because these studies, like I said, the studies that the American College of Physicians is basing their recommendation on is not extensive. It's a lot of studies, but it doesn't cover the full gamut of
potential problems.
Exactly. And I've had, and this is now anecdotal, we prefer not to practice medicine anecdotally, but given that we don't have a lot of very good hard evidence, this is what we have to work with. I've had many patients who I have asked them if they're having problems with leaking urine, and they've told me no, and I do her exam, and the skin is very disrupted because she's been leaking urine. I have patients who have severe vaginal atrophy, and it turns out they haven't had sex with their husbands for 10 years because it hurts so much. And the assumption is, well, that's just part of aging. I've had patients who ultimately have endometriosis, and they've had painful periods for 4 or 5 years as young women, and have just assumed that's just what it's about. The periods are supposed to be that way. My mother had painful periods. My sister did. And so in their minds, they are asymptomatic and normal, but in
reality,
they
don't really know what normal is.
Exactly. Their quality of life is not as good as it could be, and I and my colleagues have been able to find this because we did do a pelvic exam. So
in your mind, what are you basically, I mean, it sounds to me like you have a very different, you have a different
right.
perspective on this as a practicing obstetrician
right.
gynecologist. And so what are you telling your patients?
I still strongly recommend the annual pelvic exam, both the visual and the bimanual exam. There are some patients who, for whom it really isn't necessary, much older women, young women who want to start oral contraceptives. The pelvic exam is not necessary for them. And I hope that most physicians will stop doing that because I don't want to deter a 15-year-old coming in for her birth control pills because she's afraid of getting a pelvic exam.
So that's a good point. So what you're saying is it's almost like not one size fits all.
Exactly.
Decisions have to be made on a case-by-case basis. And
exactly.
really the relationship between the physician and the patient is really the crucial determinant. I mean, all those different factors, their history, their life history, their family social history, and what their particular issues are to be taken into
account. And that's what I think medicine is working towards now, is actually having a conversation between the patient and the physician, and the two of them making the decision together.
Well, I think that's very, very good advice, and it's interesting to understand that there's more to the story than something like a major guideline. I mean, it sounds to me like some of this could have been cost-driven, because I read somewhere that the annual cost of preventive screenings, lab tests, and radiologic services, they were estimating at $2.6 billion, and you'd hate to have the money basically be driving healthcare like that.
So. Yes.
I want to thank you once again for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Renee Mested. She's assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Upstate Medical University with very good information and advice. Thanks again. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.